So I'm going to talk a little bit now about death and love, which runs on from this. I think it's very important that we don't just look at death in this kind of slightly cold way, but we also look at what are the implications for being able to love and to be loved more if we are present and alive in our lives. So seeing into the truth of interconnectedness, I think, is another fascinating and important aspect of letting go into the present moment. If everything is changing, then this means the boundaries between things must, by implication, be more porous and insubstantial than we usually realise. And it's worth remembering that the gateway to liberation, when you see through impermanence, is the anamitta samadhi, or the imageless, or the signless. So this suggests that there is no fixed and unchanging image to cling onto when we see things as they really are. So in other words, if we have no fixed self, then this means that any sense of absolute separation from other also by implication ceases. We are interconnected. We're in this way, we're interconnected. So what does this mean? Because I think sometimes when we hear the word interconnectedness, we can think it's some sort of bland merging into a sort of soup of interconnectedness. But this, and Know Your Mind, Bhante's brilliant on this sort of thing. So I've got a couple of quotes from there that really explains helpfully what this means. So he says, quote, "If one thinks of matter in terms of energy, the whole universe can be considered as consisting of life or energy that coagulates into more or less separate forms of conscious life. It is as if the whole of life is a stream within which more concentrated currents flow. So in building up a mental picture of the universe, we should think neither in terms of mutually exclusive interlocking parts, nor of a sort of undifferentiated mass. The reality is somewhere in between. We are separate from each other and from the world, but there isn't a hard and fast distinction between us. What I think of as me, and what you think of as you, is in each case the centre of a particular coagulation of the common stream of life. It is difficult to tell where I come to an end and where you begin. We shade into each other." And he also says in Know Your Mind, "When you attain enlightenment, you no longer have a will that is separate from that of others. You don't experience another person as a sort of brick wall you are coming up against. And you no longer experience yourself as a separate and conflicting solid force. You experience others in a completely different way. They become diaphanous or transparent, because your will is not coming into collision with theirs. This completely different, more relaxed, lighter, freer attitude, taken to the nth degree, is something of the nature of enlightenment. The world is the same, but you see it differently." So hopefully I have pointed here to a clear link between spiritual death, letting go of identifying with a fixed sense of self, and love. And it's not an immediately obvious connection, but I do believe it pays a lot of reflecting on. It's helpful. And I bring this aspect into my Amitabha sadhana very directly. So I have a phrase that I say to myself in the practice that invariably softens my heart. I say, "We are not separate, so the only response is to love. We are not separate, so the only response is to love." And then that makes sense to me of who Amitabha is and why he exists and why love is part of wisdom. And I quite systematically track through the relationship between impermanence, interconnectedness and love. And over the years this has become much more intuitively obvious to me. Initially I had to really sort of think it through. Everything's impermanent, that means everything's... And I've tried to train myself to have a sort of facility to have that relationship at my fingertips between impermanence and love. Because it's a really good way of trying to bring that into your life. And in my meditation, I often get an image of myself and others being like waves on the ocean. As I breathe in and out, I get a sense of us all coming into being and passing away, just like waves. There's the constant, gentle ebbing and flowing of form in harmony with the movement of the breath. So it's very harmonizing and beautiful, and helps me get a sense that our separate yet temporary forms arising and falling from the vastness or big mind of the ocean. It's another way of working with form is emptiness, and emptiness is form from the Heart Sutra. Trying to see that relationship. It really pays a lot of time, I think, reflecting on these sorts of things. I've got a little piece here from Dhyanan Katagiri in a book called Returning to Silence, which I really like. If you cast a pebble into the quiet ocean, the ripples extend in all directions and finally melt into the ocean. This is really human life. So from this vantage point, whatever kind of ripples you see, suffering, up and down waves, whatever kind of things come up, remember they are happening in the vastness of the ocean, and sooner or later they melt back into the immense ocean. So as well as reflecting on the image of the waves and the ocean to try to get a sense of interconnectedness, I do also use related questions in my meditation, such as why is compassion the expression of wisdom, and what is the loving aspect of the unconditioned? And I think all these approaches and reflections help alleviate any tendency we might have to seeing spiritual death in a sort of cold, dry, nihilistic way. So they do bring in a very warm, heart-based aspect of practice, which I think is essential when we're dwelling on impermanence or death. So we balance the two things out.